Yo, what's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Tons of guests for you today. Our boy Kirk Morrison going to stop by at 10:30. Ryan Russillo of The Ringer, my buddy, will stop by at 11:15 to talk some basketball with us, and Ben Lyons for our weekly movie review at 11:40. It's all brought to you by our friends at Straight Talk Wireless. Full court cell phone coverage you need. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G for $45 a month, as I mentioned earlier, and up to 50% less than the big carriers. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. All right, I need to start the show here. I need to start the show here because I feel like Laura, and Laura specifically, you, even though LeBron wasn't playing, you were very distraught at this Lakers game. Like, you were, I feel like you were beside yourself. You were yelling. You were screaming. Greg Bergman, even you, Mr. I only have a two when it comes to worrying right now. Even you were cursing in Spanish. I didn't even know you had that in the arsenal. About the effort put forth yesterday by the Los Angeles Lakers without LeBron James against the Houston Rockets, who were without Russell Westbrook, I might add.
Yeah, I mean, they played like absolute trash, but it's to be expected. I didn't care. I was barely watching. I was watching on my iPad and the TV. That's I cared about it, but it was trash. That was just a garbage performance. And I said basura. Yes, I do have a little bit of Spanish.
Basura.
Basura.
Thank you. Just saying.
You're welcome.
I don't believe that you were not that worried, because all the messages that George and I received, and you were just like, I can't get it right. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of like what we're watching on
couldn't
TV
get
right now.
I couldn't get the words right. That was all.
I mean, that's kind of your thing, though, so it's expected. Oh,
appreciate you on that one. But it was, they played terribly. What were they, 2 of 19 from three-point range? I mean, when Quinn Cook is getting a large amount of playing time, you know they're not going to be playing very well.
I don't understand. If the threes aren't going in, boys, just attack the paint and go to work that way. Because
it really isn't that hard. You're right. You're 100% right.
I was so upset. And luckily, I had the house to myself, so I could drop all the F-bombs I wanted. But it's just, I knew that it wasn't going to be a great game. Don't get me wrong. I didn't think that they were going to blow the Rockets out of the water, but I didn't think they were going to play that bad. It was rough to watch, for sure.
It was rough to watch, Greg. Like, there was not a point while I was watching that going to myself, egh. Like, I never felt, did you ever feel, Greg, that they had even a shot of winning the game outside of the tip?
No. I mean, there was moments where I was like, okay, Anthony Davis should be able to take control of this game. I mean, they didn't go down 10, 15 to nothing right off the bat, so I thought that was a positive. But for the most part, no. I thought there was never a point where I was like, oh, they're going to come back and win this game. Dion Waiters is going to bring us back from the dead right here. They got it down to 5 at one point with like 5 minutes left. That was exciting.
I mean, but did you really think they were going to pull that off?
No, not at all. I loved the fact of getting to watch THT a little bit. I thought he had a pretty good game.
No, there was that aspect of it, at least, that you could watch. You know, someone like him kind of perform, right? Kind of get a feel against like real NBA opponents, not the G League guys and whatnot. But yeah, it was weird, man. Anthony Davis, again, only 8 shots. I mean, did get to the free throw line a ton, or a decent amount. But yeah, like, it was the Kyle Kuzma show yesterday, it felt like.
I mean, that's what you wanted, right?
I mean, did you want that?
Well, but you want Kyle Kuzma to get a lot of
sure.
Shots.
No, I get it. I get that. And you know, you mentioned Dion Waiters, who was a whopping 2 of 10 last night, minus 14. Who you were saying you were quietly hoping he would go for like 40 in a game against James Harden. And I told you, listen, just because he has a couple of good games doesn't mean he doesn't revert to back to being Dion Waiters.
No, I know. I was. This would have been a game for him to go off. I mean, he got.
He had literally
minutes.
The worst plus minus of anyone on the floor yesterday.
I know, and that's usually pretty tough to do with some of the other players that are on this team. Like when Quinn Cook has a better plus minus than you, you know you're not playing all that great.
Quinn
he's a
Cook.
Terrible defender.
Ooh, good Lord, that was rough to watch with him.
he's
such a
really
nice
bad.
Man. He is such a nice guy. Yeah, I mean, but Dion was just as bad.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at plus minus, like, it's you know how plus minus is, man. Like, you know that.
No, but at least Quinn Cook had a couple of, he had like 4 assists or something. Like, he was doing something. Dion Waiters shot 2 of 10, 0-for-4 from three, 2 rebounds, no assists.
Hey,
8 points.
He was perfect. Perfect from the free throw line. That means something.
Yeah.
I don't know what, but it means something.
Oh, my God. So, look. Hopefully, LeBron gets out of this. Because here's the thing, and we talked about it yesterday, right? Like, kind of some of the issues that LeBron is having. And I think it's fairly simple, okay? And I kind of alluded to it yesterday, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. You know, LeBron has a very specific way he ramps up his body during the calendar year of the NBA, right? Beginning whenever he starts in training camp or right before training camp to getting himself into optimal condition by the time the playoffs are rolling around, right? Where he is peak LeBron by mid-April. And if you recall, we did talk about this, and we asked people questions about this, and we referred to LeBron on one of his first Zoom calls being asked, hey, because you have this specific regimen to get your body ramped up and get your body right for the playoffs, how does something like this impact it? And he's like, look, I don't know. It's uncharted waters. And at that time, he hadn't really gotten back training with his guys yet. And, you know, you can't really replicate basketball reps. As much as they've tried, and the NBA did a really good job of trying to replicate it with the scrimmages and obviously the 8 games or whatever, LeBron is going to have to try to find that rhythm and get his body into that flow, into an optimal condition or as close to it in a very short amount of time. Like that, that's one of those things where we didn't really think about it. We just assumed, 4 months off. He's going to be amazing, right? Even more time off. But we didn't factor in how dedicated and strict this regimen to get his body back truly is. And I feel like that's as big a reason as to why, even when he's on the floor, he's struggling a little bit. Are you buying that one, Bergman?
Yeah, no, I actually am buying it, because in that same interview that you were talking about, he said that when he got into quarantine, his body was like, what are you doing? I'm ready to go. I'm at my peak form. I'm ready to be playoff LeBron right now, and I don't know. And it was telling me, why am I sitting down now? So it was confusing his body. I think he's going to be fine. I think once he gets into the playoffs, it'll all work itself out. But yes, I mean, you saw what happened in his first year. It wasn't ready, and then in December he hurt himself. This year, did you think that this year he seemed to be kind of in close to that mode already, pretty early in the season?
Yes, not early. Well, yes, sort of. But he was primo ready to roll. By the time, like, March, you know, that mid-March game. And
yes,
that's that. And by the way, he still had another gear. But to get to that, like, that's the reality of it. You know, that's where he's at. And, yeah, Greg, like, when you have a methodology of doing something and it gets distorted, there's going to be a potential issue. And I'm stunned that none of us actually thought of that. By the way, not just us here on the show, but no one in general seemed to have thought of it.
Yeah, we all just thought, oh, look at him. This is great for him. He's going to get these 4 months off, and he's going to get to rest his body when his body is telling him, no, don't rest right now. I need to go. And that's what's the difference between, you know, 31-year-old LeBron versus 35-year-old LeBron.
Well, I don't know if it even has the – I mean, sure, that plays a role in it, but I don't even know if it has that to do with it. If it's that or just the way that his body works. Like, when Greg, you don't know because you don't work out. But when you work out.
I do now.
I mean, I guess. When, you know, Laura, you would know. When you work out, and you stop working out, if you try to ramp up your workout again after a few months, like, you're going to be sore. You're going to be in pain. Like, just to bring it down to, like, a normal person's level, like, that's how it's going to feel. Now, granted, LeBron may not be that, but clearly, his ability to play basketball hinges on the way his body feels, you know?
Yeah, you can't go from 100 and then go down to, I mean, I don't think he went down to zero, but like, let's say 60 and then go back to 150. Like, your body is going to resent you so bad, and you have to baby step it up. So I think that's what they're trying to do right now.
So what are you saying then, George? Do you think that he should be playing the rest of the games? There's, what, three more games left before the playoffs?
No, I think that they needed to rest him so he can kind of recalibrate to figure out what he needs to do. Like, yeah, he's. I think that, you know, I don't know, Greg. I'm not like a kinesiologist.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
But I'm asking you what your opinion in all this.
I think he's going to probably need to play some games, yeah. Like, I do think he's going to have to play some.
Right, maybe like the last game and some, and only like half of one of those games, one of these three games. I don't know, but whatever it is, he can't just sit through the rest of the last three games because he needs to get back to where he needs to be, and he can't just play all three of them at like 45 minutes a game. This is not possible.
I mean, it's right, and that's going to make this thing more challenging. Like, he's going to have to do the ramp up during the playoffs.
Right. I mean, I like that last night they were trying to get these other guys involved and let them get their shooting stroke going. But the fact is that the strokes were just not hitting for anybody. I mean, Dwight had a decent game on the boards, at least, which he hadn't had in quite some time. He had double-digit boards for the first time in, God, I don't even know when, probably March, February.
I mean, all I'm saying is this adds another layer of complications that I don't think people were ready for. Miko in Compton. Miko, what's up, man? Good morning.
Hey, what's going on, Sedano? How you doing, Birdman?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I think LeBron's problem is he's trying to do, like, too much. He's trying to defy gravity too much. When you get older, when Michael Jordan got older, Magic Johnson, when he made his comebacks, if you don't play point guard when you're an old man, that's like a young person. An older guy, perimeter guy, supposed to go to the post. LeBron's supposed to be in the post. He's like trying to be the point guard. That's for young people. When Michael Jordan, he played a little point guard when he was young. Or Mark Jackson, when those guys got older, Mark Jackson and Jason Kidd did more scoring when they got older because they can't do the point guard thing. That's for young people. That's an aggressive position. So LeBron needs to commit himself to being a small forward. He could assist and pass from the small forward, but we need him to go down there and to score. He needs to get out of the pass first. That's for a young kid. You know, I could pass first. They electric on defense, offense. LeBron, he needs to concentrate on being a forward and scoring in the post, trying to lead the team and scoring, him and AD, and stop trying to be the point guard. He's not young anymore.
Man, well, I mean, thanks for the call. So basically, you're saying that he, being the point guard, has made this tougher on him. I'm not gonna necessarily disagree with that, but I would say this: who else? You know what I mean? Right? Like, who else?
Yeah. Well, that's part of the problem too, is that he has spent this entire year being the league leader in assists as the point guard of the Los Angeles Lakers. If you want him to change that right in the bubble and then right into the playoffs, that just doesn't work. That's how the team is built. That is what made this team go and be the number one overall seed in the West. Changing that now seems a little bit tough to do.
Yeah, oh, no, you're definitely not changing that now, that's for sure. All right, 877-710-ESPN if you want to hop aboard, 877-710-3776. We'll get to your calls. We'll get your thoughts on this. Like, how does this change things? Because, I mean, that seems clear to me that this is what's happening here. We got a lot of people on hold. We got a lot of people want to chime in on this. We'll get to your calls in 2.5 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710-ESPN. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier using their Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. It is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So we got a lot of people on hold that want to talk about this Lakers situation and the LeBron situation specifically. We'll go to the phones at 877-710-ESPN. Kirk Morrison going to stop by. We'll talk some football with him at 10:30. Then Ryan Russillo will stop by at 11:15. And Ben Lyons will end our week for our weekly movie review. Next week, I am off. Ben Lyons will be in all week. That's the last week. I'm taking a week off just before we start the new show. Myself and LZ 4 to 7. The new lineup starts August 17th. Don't forget Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, and Travis in the morning, followed by Greeny at 9. Max Kellerman, the return of Max Kellerman to ESPN Los Angeles to 710 ESPN on August 17th, beginning at 11 a.m. Then Mason and Ireland are back in midday, 1 to 4. We will start Purgatory at 3:55 for that first segment. With LZ, myself, Mason, and Ireland, and then Scott Kaplan after us, and we will crosstalk with him until about 7:10. That's how it goes each and every day, and obviously when there are no games, that's when Scott will be on. So that's how we roll. So, Bergman, before I get to the calls, the lineup change.
Yes.
You are in charge of monitoring these things and dealing with these things. What has been the reaction thus far? Fairly positive? Because people always complain about everything anyway. And they complain that we turn over the lineup a lot, which is not an unfair complaint, I might add. But it is not necessarily at the feet of you and Boss Betty Pantsuits all the time, or at least really most of the time, because we work for a larger company, and they make decisions in different places sometimes, even for outposts like us here in Los Angeles. But what has the reaction generally been?
I mean, I would say that it's probably around 80-85% positive. Most people like it. Look, you're getting Max Kellerman back, who people loved here in LA. I mean, obviously, Max said it himself. People loved the fact that he was on 4 hours a day with you just a few days ago. Greeny is fantastic, is one of the best interviewers in the business, and is always going to have a good show. And Keyshawn stays in the morning and is a very much an LA guy. So you're getting a lot of good, even the national side of it is still really, really strong. And then, look, everybody was asking for Mason Ireland back in the middays. Everybody was asking for you, Sedano, to be back in the afternoons and to have Purgatory back. We gave that to you. We were able to make that happen. So as much as, yes, we do change over the lineup a pretty decent amount, this is hopefully going to stay put for quite some time, and we're not going to be changing things up all every 6 months.
At least we hope.
At least we hope. Again, as you said, we don't make all the decisions. We just try to.
Oh, that's funny. We'll get to the phones here. Let's go to the phones. We have people waiting patiently. I don't want to keep them holding any longer. Let's go to Sam in North Hollywood. Sam, who we know is a very I'm sorry? Oh, Sam dropped. Let's go to Ja'Cory in Santa Ana. Ja'Cory, what's up?
All right, how's it going? I appreciate you having me on the show again. I will be listening at 4 o'clock, but I just wanted to say a couple of things. I wanted to say that, the Lakers need to defend the three-pointer way better. They need to do that with some pride. We need AD to step it up and be a leader in times like last night, because I think we could have pulled that out in the fourth quarter, 9 minutes. We could have brought it back in. I think that Quinn Cook, man, I don't know. I think he might be a G League player. And I think that Caldwell Pope, man, I don't know about that guy, man. You know what I mean? We're paying way too much for him to be doing such a crappy job.
Yeah, it's he has not played very well. Thank you for the call, Ja'Cory. Stay healthy and stay safe. It is, KCP has been a pretty big disappointment here. Danny Green played better yesterday, though.
Yeah, he did. I don't think he shot a three, though. Did he end up shooting three later in the game? Because when I was watching, it didn't. He was zero.
But you know
zero
what,
for
Greg,
zero.
Sometimes you just need to see the ball go through the basket, man, when you're
right.
a shooter.
The last two games, I think he's taken only one three-point shot, and he made it against, OKC. But he's getting to the basket more because he's trying to open himself up. I actually don't mind what he's doing right now. He needs to hit those threes in playoffs, though. That's what he's here for. Play good defense, which he still does, and hit threes. So if he can get, if he's going to get you 10 points from all inside the arc, it's not so terrible.
Yeah, I just need him to hit baskets, right, and get his confidence back if I'm the Lakers. That's literally what I feel like right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think a lot of people need to get their confidence back right now. Nobody. I mean, Kyle Kuzma's shooting okay in the bubble, but that's about it. Nobody can shoot right now. So somebody needs to start hitting some baskets with regularity. If it means going inside the arc, then do it.
Yeah, for sure. Let me go to Ross in Palm Springs. Ross, how are you, man?
Oh, good morning, fellas. Now, as far as the programming, the key is local in Southern California with all the teams that we have. You know, now I know you're switching everything around, but we didn't want you to screw up the morning just to bring back local programming, you know, in the afternoon. You know, from 9 to 1, now you got national. There's very low, in L.A., there's not a whole lot of interest about all the minutia going on in New York and the East Coast. And I think the station is strong. But don't screw up, don't take away local programming at the latter part of the morning just to achieve, you know, afternoon local broadcasting.
Well, here's what I would say real quick, and I'll let you finish. Here's what I would say. Ross, we're all dealing with unprecedented times here, right? So, and again, we don't always make the decisions here locally, as I alluded to earlier. But what I would say to you is this. That doesn't mean that in the future there can't be the additions of more local programming. But because we're dealing with unprecedented times in general across the board, and everyone is a little stressed financially, including large corporations, I think that sometimes you have to kind of balance things out a little bit for a little while, you know?
Yeah, I know you got to fight the suits on the East Coast and everything over this whole thing. But, you know, I just want to say, far as the Lakers, LeBron is running the show in L.A. There's no doubt about that. He showed that right when they in the same weekend when they beat the Clippers and Milwaukee. Some of it's a two-man team. LeBron runs the show. So, it's no mistake about that. So it's just they didn't get the best record in the Western Conference for nothing. So, but in the event that the Lakers do not win, L.A. will still win if the Clippers take it. And as long as I've been in L.A., I'll be 75 next month. Look here, support if the Clippers win the championship with homegrown Kawhi Leonard, homegrown Paul George, support for the Lakers will melt like butter on a hot day because L.A. fans are loyal to L.A. Now, if it just happens to be the L.A. Clippers, so be it. Look at these two boys came out of the CIF, so we nurtured them.
Ross.
Yeah.
And Ross, go ahead, finish up. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, L.A. is loyal to L.A., and we have so many teams, that's why the local programming is strong. And just last question I want to ask you, Sonano, so I know you talk about Miami. Where did they hide the black Cubanos in Little Havana down there? Havana is full of black people with black blood.
I mean, I know plenty of
dynamics of race.
I know plenty
of. How do they hide the black Cubanos down there so well?
I know plenty of black Cuban people. I mean, I grew up there. I lived there for 30 years. So I don't know. I mean, have you been there or
Little Havana? You barely see any blacks. You go to Havana, real Havana.
No, I know, but Ross, let me explain something to you. Yeah. Little Havana is a very small part of Miami. Like it is
exactly.
And by the way, Little Havana over the last 10 years is not even full of Cubans anymore. So I what I would say to you is I grew up with plenty of black Cuban people. So
I'm just curious for to be such a dichotomy, you know, between the real Havana and Little Havana, you know, as far as the racial dynamics of the whole place, you know.
But all
I want to say is the Clippers are led by homegrown, born here in SoCal, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. But I love the Lakers. But you know,
you want to see
who remembers Elgin Baylor? Could you turn call Elgin Baylor the greatest Laker of all time?
Yeah, you want to see? I get it. And thank you for the call, Ross. Stay healthy, stay safe. Appreciate it. You want to see if the Lakers don't win, you want to see the Clippers win it. Because of the homegrown talent, as you mentioned, they played in the CIF, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard. I get that. That seems rational. But you make the mistake in thinking that sports fandom is rational. Because I will ask two Laker fans on my show right now how they would feel about that. And I will open it up to the phones, and I bet you that 90% of the people will not be as rational as you are. Greg Bergman, what do you say about Ross's thoughts there?
I mean, Ross is seems like a very smart gentleman and is, you know, has his feelings. I don't agree with his feelings in the slightest. If the Clippers win, I'm not going to be happy. I don't care that Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are from the L.A. area. Palmdale is not L.A., first of all. And they both spurned the Lakers, and I'm a Laker fan. So, yeah, I'm not going to root for the Clippers in the slightest.
Laura?
Ross, thank you for listening. Hail no, I will not be happy. I never want to see the Clippers win. It's no Laker fan. We would rather see the Spurs or another team take that chip before we see the Clippers take that chip.
All right. You know what? Kirk Morris is going to stop by. We'll take more of your calls at 877-710-ESPN. We're back in 3 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Presented by Progressive Insurance, all our guests like Kirk Morrison, who will join us shortly, appear via the Shell Penzo Performance Line. This segment brought to you by our friends at LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports. Before we get to Kirk Morrison, we've got some people on the phones we'll get to here in a second. I think we're having trouble connecting to Kirk, so we will get to him momentarily. Bergman, I had a strange night last night. So I was doing the Levitard show today, which means I have to wake up extra early and literally go from one show to the next, right? Like with like 1 minute in between. So, you know, it's burning the candle on both ends a little bit. Only made worse by my almost 2-year-old son crying out at 3 a.m. yesterday. And I thought to myself, do I get up? And I looked at my wife and I saw her turning over. And what she did was she turned the white noise machine on. And I'm like, okay, I guess we're not getting up. I guess he's just going to cry. And if he keeps crying, then we'll figure it out. And if he stops, then we'll just keep sleeping.
So he stopped, I'm assuming.
I mean, yeah, he stopped. Clearly.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it was...
But those are the worst. Those are the worst
nights.
Oh,
come on. Like, I'm like, come on, kid. You never do this, but the one day I got to wake up at, like, you know, 5:45 in the morning. You're going to do this today? Like, really? The hell?
Jeez, not thinking about you. Only thinking about yourself.
No. Selfish. But I am thinking about Principal Morrison over there. And with virtual schooling starting soon, I am curious as to what the, you know, the curriculum will be at the Morrison household. Hello, Kirk Morrison.
Hey, how we doing this morning, George? What's going on, my man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I am plowing through on a Friday. Thank you for joining us. Are you excited for another school year coming up in a couple of weeks with the Morrison School of Higher Learning, Principal Morrison?
Yeah, I'm okay with it, man. We've got a couple things in place. You know, luckily I have some younger ones who are able to attend preschool because that is still essential. But a little bit older, he'll be in kindergarten. It'll be a little bit different, you know, with LAUSD. So we're working on some things right now. Obviously, it's going to be a little bit of virtual, but we want to give him, you know, the face-to-face learning too, man. These kids right now at this age, it's just so much learning that they actually need with one-on-one. So I'm working that out too, George. So I got a lot going on over the next couple weeks.
All right, cool. Let's talk some football here because I do want to talk to you. Actually, you know what? Let's talk Lakers here. We can do football in the next segment. So we just had a caller on, and now you've lived here for a very long time now. So we just had a caller on. His name was Ross. Nice gentleman. Said he was 75 years old, lives in Palm Springs. And said, look, he is a big Laker fan. But he says, look, if the Lakers can't win, and, you know, it's, you know, we'll get into LeBron and his ramp up and what seemingly seems to be an interruption of it. And he seems to be struggling because of it in a second. But he said, you know what? If the Lakers can't win, I'm going to ride with the LA boys from the Clippers. You know, I ride for LA. These kids were in high school here. They competed in the CIF. We should support them. And I said, you know, Ross, you are wise. You are a 75-year-old man, and you are wise. and you are rational. But I would say that sports fandom is not rational, and the majority of people, I would say probably close to 95% of the fans in this town, would vehemently disagree, or are probably yelling at their radios right now. Kirk Borson, you have lived in this town now for a long time. Do you believe that my assessment of this is correct, even though Ross's is rational?
No, I mean, you kind of was low there at 95. I'm going 99.9% of Los Angeles people are not going to go from Lakers to Clippers. Like, I've learned that being down here. It's the same thing when you look at some of the other sports, right? It's like you can't be like, oh, USC is out of, you know, the Pac-12 tournament. How about let's go for UCLA? Like, this town that I've learned, and I've been here a while, George. I came down here in 2000 when I started college, and just always been around the fabric and having teammates and guys who are from Los Angeles. It's you draw a line. You have your allegiance, whether you're a Dodger fan, you're a USC fan, a Laker fan, whatever it may be. You only have one team. There is no switching it up when it comes to, oh, your team's out, let's go for the other LA team. This is all about one team, and it's about the Lakers. If they don't make it or they don't, you know, win a championship, then you're still a Laker fan.
So let me ask you about the ramp up with LeBron, because you're a professional athlete, right? You played at the highest level in the NFL for many years. And, you know, LeBron, we all know, has a specific ramp up to his body, specifically as he's gotten older, right? And there is a specific regimen, and by a certain point, he needs to be peaking, right? And we started to see that in mid-March, which is shortly before the playoffs start. And when the playoffs, or when everything was canceled or suspended, he did a Zoom call. And I remember him being asked, like, what happens now to your ramp-up? Like, how does that work? You seem to be playing at your best basketball. And he's like, I'm going to be honest, I don't know. Like, this is all unprecedented, and I would presume that it's going to be weird for my body to come down for whatever amount of time we need to come down for, in their case, 4+ months, and then restart again. And I think that it's very clear to me, Kirk, that all of us took for granted that the time off, we thought it would help LeBron, but in essence, it feels like it's hurt him in regards to where his body should be at this particular point, because every single step of his training and regimen is down to a T, right? To hit his peak at a certain point. And now he's got to do it, and he's got to do it in a short amount of time. Like, that makes this, gives the Lakers an extra layer here of challenges that presents itself all of a sudden.
You know, George, I mean, I told people about that about 3 or 4 months ago, and people kind of laughed at me and said, no, this is only going to help, this and that. And this is one of the reasons why I gave the Clippers the advantage in winning the Western Conference and getting to the NBA Finals. I said, because as an athlete, and I'm going off myself right now currently, I said the hardest part is to tell your body that you're not going to do something. For me, growing up, I knew that from the month of July all the way through December that my body was in football mode. It was the way that I ate. It was the way that I trained. It was the way that I slept. Everything was always according to plan. And once the season was over, then it went into rest mode, right? And for LeBron, to me, his whole routine, athletes are creatures of habit. It's all about routine. So LeBron's routine was off. Now trying to kind of ramp it back up in the middle of summer, where LeBron's usually doing what? He's on the circuit. He's, you know, with his kids playing basketball. He's fine-tuning. He's healing. All of a sudden, that's thrown out the window because he's got to ramp it back up. And that's the reason why I had gave the Clippers the advantage, because in this situation, the Clippers got a bunch of dudes that just go out there and hoop. Like, they don't care. Like, they'll go to Venice Beach. They'll go to the local YMCA. Like, they just got a bunch of guys that just play basketball. They don't necessarily have a ramp up like I thought with LeBron needs and some of the other guys on his team. So, yeah, it's a real thing, George. It's a real thing that not only does he have to manage, and we saw what it looked like last night without him in the lineup.
Yeah, not pretty, that's for sure. All right, let's talk some football on the other side. Kirk Morrison continues with us here on the Sedano Show. We are back in 2 minutes and 45 seconds. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oils, made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Don't forget, NBA is back on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight on the ESPN app if you'd like. Catch Jason Tatum and the Celtics visiting the Raptors. Presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 5:30 Pacific on the ESPN app. Kirk Morrison hanging out with us here. So Kirk gave us some great analysis there, having been a former professional athlete, about LeBron's process and how that could be affecting him right now. We'll get back to your calls in just a second about that at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Kirk, I'll ask you a very specific question. If you were playing, if you were still in your playing days right now, would you opt out or would you play?
I would be opting in. I would be playing. Now, if I did have a guaranteed contract for the season and I was a guy who was on the, I guess it's the high risk list by the CDC, then I would opt out, George, get the $350,000 sort of stipend. I would get an accrued season, and then my contract would toll over to the following season, which would still be guaranteed. So there are some guys who have some options, but those options are now gone. Yesterday was the deadline at 1 o'clock here on the West Coast. But for me, as I analyzed everything, I would have opted in. Just looking at the way that my career went, I would have opted in.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's an individual decision for everyone, for sure, and I respect it. I don't think there's any doubt. But yeah, it is interesting to see how many guys have opted out of the specific situation. Like, I feel bad for Cam Newton in all of this, in all honesty, because so many of the good Patriots players have opted out. Dante Hightower, Patrick Chung, their starting right tackle. Like, those are, like, important guys, you know?
Yeah, I know. And it's a case-by-case basis. You know, when you look at just some of the implications, and, you know, I am part of the NFL Players Association, so being able to dive down a little bit more and get some of those numbers and get some of the benefits that happens that guys can get for opting out or staying in and sort of the risk. But if you look at the Patriots, those are a lot of older players, guys that have been in the league for a long time, and they decide, you know what, I can sit out because I've made a ton of money. And this is kind of what I thought about the NBA as well, George. I thought the guys who had made a ton of money didn't really, you know, I'm not really filling the bubble so I can stay out. I felt it would be more of those guys. The NBA has definitely changed my mind about that because guys want to go out there and play basketball. They're doing a solid to the league. And obviously there's safety. There's protocols in place that show that's the safest place in all of the world right now, which is that bubble in Orlando. As for the NFL, a lot more risk, I think, for guys. But like I said, the older players say, hey, you know what? Do I need football right now? Probably not. I'll pick it up next year. And so I think that, like you mentioned, it does hurt a guy like Cam Newton, but it's still the Patriot way. They'll find a way to figure things out and see if they can win an AFC East title without Tom Brady.
So, Kirk, let me ask you this. Kirk Morrison, kind enough to join us here for one more segment. Kirk, when you look at what John Gruden did the other day, have you seen this story about how he was supposed to be on a Zoom call and one of the assistants was on there and told the guys that he had COVID and he was in the hospital, and the guys were kind of freaking out for a second and they told him, "Nah, we're just messing with you. We just want to show you how real it could be." Is that a good sense of humor, or is that like a little too weird to go that route?
Well, George, honestly, that was brilliant. And the reason why is brilliant, I'll take you through a couple steps here. I've talked to a couple head coaches this offseason during this whole pandemic. And the one thing that they keep reiterating to me, and no one's talking about this as much, is that the virus can have a kind of a path of its own. And meaning that it can actually infect your coaching staff. And what if that was to be true?
Right. Like,
how would the players react? But then also, what would be the protocol? And now the players know that, hey, if John Gruden had COVID-19, you now know who's the associate head coach, who would take over his duties. Who would be the play caller if John Gruden were to be, you know, have COVID-19 for a week or 2 weeks? What would your coaching staff look like? So actually, this is being talked about by a lot of coaches now that just think about this. If Sean McVay tests positive for COVID-19, George, who calls plays now for the Los Angeles Rams? Oof. Does it go to Kevin O'Connell, their new offensive coordinator? Will it go to Shane Waldron, who's, you know, been the passing game coordinator? These conversations have to be made, have to be talked about because of instances just like John Gruden. Hey, he was playing around, but George, I'm dead serious, man. That was serious in terms of some teams that may have to – look, what if your running back's coach goes down, right, midweek?
because he's got COVID-19. Well, who else can coach the running backs within your coaching staff? It's those little things that are fine-tuning that coaches are actually working out during this training camp.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I mean, that is interesting. I just didn't know how to feel about it. You know what I mean? It was kind of a weird way to do it, but I guess he got his point across.
Right.
Derek Carr had this to say 2 days ago now. Says, quote, "I have something to prove. I am tired of being disrespected." Do you believe Derek Carr is being disrespected?
Yeah, but I think a lot of it comes the way that Derek Carr handles it. I'm not sure, George. You can probably check when I get off this interview, but you can see if Derek Carr's probably blocked you on Twitter. I know he's blocked a lot of people.
Really? Get out of here. No way.
Oh, Derek and David Carr, man, you got to see if you're on their hit list, man, because they will block you in a minute. That is a known fact throughout the media world. But I think what happened
with Derek Carr, not. He has not blocked me.
Okay, you're good. You're good. Yeah. Whew, yeah. You're safe, man.
Yeah. Let me check David while I'm at it. But go ahead.
But no, it's a thing in the media circles. But one of the biggest situations for Derek is that he's in a situation now where he's got the weapons. The Raiders have really invested at the wide receiver position. They have Josh Jacobs, the rookie running back from last year. Offensive line is definitely better. And so I think for people is that, hey, Derek, you've been there, and yet this team has not been successful. And then some people would argue and say, well, you haven't had the best people around him. I think for right now, it is a situation where Derek has to sort of what his radio color analyst was talking about today, which has kind of made news, George, Lincoln Kennedy. It's a put up or shut up kind of situation. The Raiders wouldn't have signed Marcus Mariota to be a backup to Derek Carr if they didn't believe that if things didn't go right with Derek Carr, that Marcus Mariota may step in and they feel like they've got a quality starter if things aren't going the way that they want to with Derek Carr. So this is a big, big year for Derek. Because, look, you got a new stadium. You got, you know, some shiny new players. You know, Henry Ruggs, they drafted out of Alabama. Derek Carr's got to have a fantastic year similar to the one he had where he was up for an MVP consideration before he broke his ankle and the Raiders lost in that first round to the Houston Texans. Big year for Derek Carr.
Who's going to have the better offense, the Raiders, the Chargers, or the Rams? Make a bold prediction before I let you go, Kirk.
If you're asking me right now, I would definitely have to go with the Raiders. I think that with Josh Jacobs coming back, you know, the running back, the receiver they added in Ruggs, Hunter Renfrow, Tyrell Williams a year ago. Remember this, Jason Witten. I'm not calling him a pass receiver. I think he shores up the offensive line. He's like an extra tackle that they'll have in their 12 personnel sets with Darren Waller. I just like their offense and what they have coming back right now that it is a situation for Derek Carr to truly flourish. I'm not so sure about Tyrod Taylor and Austin Eckler, the guys with the Chargers. Defensively, they'll be great. Their offense, we'll see how that goes. And then kind of with the Rams, it's a wait-and-see approach. Their biggest thing is what? The running back position. And they're going to be doing that by committee with the loss of Todd Gurley to Atlanta.
Kirk Morrison, friend of the program, 8-year NFL vet. We love him. He's on our Rams coverage as well. You're the man, brother. Go hang out with those kids. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. Stay healthy.
Oh, yeah, man. It's time for a goldfish snack. So time for some goldfish, brother.
All right. Later. Be good, man. Take care. There he is, Kirk Morrison. We got a few more minutes here. We can do a couple calls. I know people have been holding on patiently. Want to chime in on the Lakers discussion we were talking about with Kirk, too, as well, right? Like this added layer of a challenge now for the Lakers because of LeBron's normal ramp up being skewed here because of this, something that most people did not think of. And, you know, Kirk had mentioned it because Kirk understands because he's a professional athlete or was a professional athlete for a very long time. Let's go to the phones. Michael is in Palmdale. Michael, what do you got?
Hi, George. I just wanted to echo the 75-year-old caller. Finally, somebody agrees with me and they call in, and it's an L.A. thing. The number you said, 95%, you should probably get a poll for that to see, because I really don't believe it. Every Laker fan is a Clipper fan. That's our secondary choice. I mean, back when we were wishing for the LA series when they had Chris Paul in them. I mean, that's just me. I'm 29 years old, so I've always been a Lakers fan at heart, and then the Clipper fan was always our second choice. If anything went sour, but I guess that's just me and the 75-year-old caller. I just wanted to echo that. Finally, somebody agreed with me.
All right, Michael, thank you for the call, buddy. Stay healthy, stay safe. Laura, your response?
Hell no. No. No, no. He's 29. Bro, what? I'm 32, so I'm not that much older than you. And I grew up watching the Lakers. There was no secondary to the Lakers. And if there was, which there wasn't, it wouldn't be the Clippers. Like, come on. Like I said, that's like rooting for the Dodgers and the Angels at the same time, or UCLA and USC. Like, it doesn't happen. But then again, he's from Palmdale. Makes sense.
Yeah, maybe he's Paul George guy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He loves Paul George. Bryce is in L.A. Bryce.
How are you, Mr. Sedano?
Hello, I'm good. Yourself?
I'm good, I'm good. Taking it easy?
Good.
Look, I just wanted to tell you, I just wanted to give Frank Vogel a D- for last night's game.
Oh.
Particularly because I felt that he should just give Talen Horton Tucker the keys, if that makes sense.
I mean, I don't know about that. Let's slow down a little bit. We may be giving you a D- on that take right there.
No,
what are you talking
about? If you're going to play Talen Horton Tucker and you're going to put him at the two, not the one, and you're just going to have Deion Waiters bring up the ball every possession, then you're not really letting Talen Horton Tucker play the game the way he wants to.
All right, Bryce, thanks for the call, buddy. Listen, I get that people are very excited for Talen Horton Tucker, and I get that he is a guy that can handle a little bit, but we need to slow down just a little bit on that. All right, we'll take more of your calls. We're going to be back in 90 seconds with what you need to know and more of your phone calls as people are starting to potentially worry about this added layer that the Lakers are going to have to deal with, which is the LeBron ramp-up has been kind of skewed here. We'll get into some of that, people's thoughts on the game last night. Ryan Russillo will join us at 11:15. Ben Lyons at 11:40 for the movie review, as he does every week. Sedano Show, back in 90 seconds.